You are Locked On Balls, your daily podcast on the Tennessee Volunteers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to Locked On Vols, your team every day. My name is Josh Ward. Thank you for being here on today's show. This one is going to be jam-packed. We're going to get Tennessee football in the first segment as there continues to be speculation around the status of Tennessee's football program, and it seems more doubt into the idea of Jeremy Pruitt being Tennessee's coach in 2021. When are we going to know? Who knows? But I'll let you hear what Chris Lowe of ESPN.com said on Wednesday, talking about Tennessee, the football program, and the chance that UT could make a move on Jeremy Pruitt this offseason. That's coming up in segment number one. In segment number two, I will get to Tennessee basketball. With the Vols getting a win against Arkansas, it was not easy for Tennessee. The Vols had to rally in the second half, but rally they did, and hold on in the end, they did. You'll hear from Rick Barnes talking about the way Tennessee was able to close out the game, and also talking about Josiah Jordan-James, who was terrific in the game. We'll cover all of that here on Locked On Vols. Tennessee football, Tennessee basketball, I have you covered 5 days a week here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And I'll begin on the football side with the comments that were made by Chris Lowe on 104.5 The Zone in Nashville. He was on 3HL on Wednesday afternoon, and there continues to be the question, will Jeremy Pruitt be the head coach in 2021? There has been no clear answer. We know from Philip Fulmer's statements that he wants Jeremy Pruitt to be the head coach. I've not heard that that has changed, but we also do not know that Philip Fulmer will be able to keep Jeremy Pruitt as the head coach. What does Tennessee's administration think? What do important donors, boosters to the program think? We still do not know that Jeremy Pruitt is the head coach, which has continued to, I think, leave players in the program to question what's going on. Harrison Bailey's father the other day tweeted about Jeremy Pruitt, that Harrison Bailey went to Tennessee to play for Jeremy Pruitt. And there's a reason he sent that. And I think prospects and players who are in the transfer portal considering other schools are looking at Tennessee saying, okay, what is the future of this coaching staff? That question was brought up to Chris Lowe of ESPN.com on 3HL on Wednesday. Listen to what Chris Lowe said when Brent Daugherty asked, is Jeremy Pruitt going to be Tennessee's coach?
Mike Lazor's group is the one that's assisting Tennessee, been retained. And if you Google Mike Lazor, he's got a long, long, successful history of representing schools. In fact, he and the late Mike Slive started the first sports law firm to help schools that had NCAA matters or compliance issues. So you don't spend the kind of cash to bring in somebody like that unless you got some things you feel like are pretty serious, you know, to help mitigate it, to get to the bottom of it. And this is not something they just brought him in 2 weeks ago. I think they've been talking to people since November. To answer your first question, is Jeremy Pruitt going to make it? Looking at it from where we are right now and talking to some people, I think it's going to be difficult. I really do. I mean, I don't think you ever say never, but it looks like the way this has all gone down, the way this thing has dragged out, that it will be difficult for him to be the head football coach. And I don't know if Tennessee is trying to get its ducks in order to fire him for cause, to get him to take a settlement. I think those are all possibilities. But I'll say this. No matter what happens, the way this thing has sort of lingered on, boy, it's really hurt the football program. And Tennessee was already sort of fighting an uphill battle anyway. But you're going to see, I think you've already seen some players at the transfer portal. I think you'll see more at the transfer portal. And I think it's also, if he is indeed not the coach, it's probably going to be difficult to attract a coach to come in here with everything that's sort of hanging out there. Again, when you look at the last 10 years surrounding Tennessee football, are you really surprised at anything that happens? You know, look up dysfunction right now in the dictionary, and I promise you there's a picture of Rocky Top or Neyland Stadium or the color orange right there beside it.
Chris Lowe of ESPN.com, I'll link to the entire interview that he had on 3HL because they talk more about the program, and Chris is great covering college football and knows what's going on in the SEC and at Tennessee. And he did not say that Tennessee is going to make a change, but he did say that he believes it's going to be difficult for Jeremy Pruitt to keep his job. And here we are a few weeks into this conversation that has taken place since the final game of the season. against Texas A&M. And the timing probably was not helped by the Christmas and New Year's holidays, where you have schedules that are being moved around and some people are working, some are not. But there's been a lot of time that has gone into this investigation, and maybe that's only part of it. We'll see, but we still don't know what the administration thinks. As I said, Philip Fulmer has made his opinion pretty clear, but how much does his opinion matter here? Is Philip Fulmer absolutely going to be the athletic director moving forward, especially if a change is made with the football coach? That's unknown. We don't know. And I would agree with what Chris said there. This is doing damage to Tennessee. I don't know how you could argue that it's not. How much? Well, time's going to tell on that. But it can't help with trying to keep the roster together. Some guys have decided to stay. Cade Mays decided to come back. Velus Jones announced he's returning to Tennessee. And not everyone in the transfer portal is going to be difficult to replace. I talked about Ty Chandler earlier in the week. He's a good player who's leaving, but Tennessee can replace him at running back. Tennessee signed three guys in the class. But what about Tennessee's effort to bring in players? What if Tennessee's looking for a quarterback? I believe Tennessee is looking for a quarterback on the transfer market. Is that more difficult because of the unknown with Tennessee's coaching staff? And are there going to be other coaching staff changes? Absolutely, there could be. Is this hurting Jeremy Pruitt in trying to find assistant coaches? Can he even make hires right now? That's a question that I think a lot of people are asking. He needs a new offensive and defensive line coach, and he might have other changes coming to the staff. But this is dragging on, and here it is. This is the January 7th episode. And you think about that time when Lane Kiffin left. That was not good timing, right? You were just a few weeks before the signing class was going to be wrapped up. And this year is different in that you had the early signing period. But we're a week away from that timeline. It was the second week of January when Lane Kiffin decided to leave. And remember how Tennessee felt like it had to rush into a hire and it ended up with Derek Dooley. Tennessee's a good job and Tennessee can pay money. If it's looking for a coach, I would imagine it's going to try to spend what it would take to get a coach, but a proven coach at a good school, I don't know that that's going to happen. Hugh Freeze is a name that often gets brought up. That would surprise me. Chris Lowe mentioned Doug Marrone's name. That's a guy that if Tennessee is looking for a coach, I will say he needs to be on your list. Billy Napier is a popular name at Louisiana, has ties to Tennessee. Doug Marrone is a guy, though, that he's a good coach. I mean, he's in a different class from Jeremy Pruitt. I don't even think it's a conversation worth having and trying to compare the two. Doug Marrone's coached in college, and he's coached with two NFL franchises. Is Tennessee going to be in a position where it's trying to hire a head coach? That's still a question, but it's worth bringing up, and that's why I led off the show with it, that Chris Lowe on Wednesday said that he believes it's going to be difficult for Jeremy Pruitt to remain as Tennessee's head coach. I said after the Texas A&M game, I don't think that it's going to work out with Jeremy Pruitt. Now, you have a contract that you gave him that will make it really costly to fire him. If Tennessee tries to make a move, can it do it with cause? Can it do it with a negotiated buyout? I'm sure that's something that they are trying to figure out. But they need to figure something out. I think everybody agrees on that. Fans, surely people in the athletic office there. But as Chris also mentioned there at the end of the comment you heard, the dysfunction just continues, or it appears to continue with Tennessee football. And sometimes, even if it's just perception of dysfunction, that can cause harm to the program, and the fear is that that's the case right now. On the flip side of this conversation, you have Tennessee basketball. It was not the prettiest win. It was a tough win against Arkansas, but Arkansas is a quality team, and I think Rick Barnes, in the end, was happy to get that win while still seeing some things to work on moving forward. You will hear from Rick Barnes coming up. We'll talk about what Tennessee was able to do in the comeback win against Arkansas coming up next here on Locked On Vols. And today's show is presented by BetOnline.ag. I looked at the odds on BetOnline.ag on Wednesday night after Tennessee got the win against Arkansas. The Vols are clear favorites to win the SEC at 7-4 odds. Missouri is at 3-1. I don't know that I agree on that. Then you have Florida and LSU at 6-1. Arkansas, which Tennessee just beat, at 7-1. You can get those odds when you go to betonline.ag. They have spreads available for you on NFL games coming up this weekend, the national championship game coming up on Monday night. NBA and college basketball are always going on, and you can always bet at betonline.ag. Betonline.ag has a great opportunity for you. You can sign up today for a free account and use promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. You go to betonline.ag. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Check out the website. And when you sign up for your free account, use code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. If you watched Tennessee play Arkansas on Wednesday night, you probably dealt with some nerves through a lot of the game. In the first half, Arkansas had the advantage. 40-33 was the score at halftime, and Rick Barnes was not pleased with how the first half ended, and that was the case in back-to-back games. So Rick was talking about players need to have a better understanding. Hey, if we have the last shot, we need to get the last shot. Arkansas shouldn't be getting a shot off at the end of the first half. But Tennessee was able to rally in the second half. Tennessee outscored the Razorbacks by 12 points in the second half. The final score was 79-74. Josiah Jordan-James led Tennessee in scoring with 17 points. He also had 9 rebounds, which led the Vols. He did a number of things on the floor. He can defend. He took the ball away from Arkansas, and that led to Josiah making some plays in transition, and he's really good there. I'm very high on Josiah Jordan-James. You'll hear Rick Barnes talk about him coming up in just a moment. John Fulkerson kind of rallied back from where he was the other day. He had 16 points. I said Josiah led Tennessee in scoring. He was tied with Victor Bailey Jr. Victor also had 17 points in the game. Coming off the bench, by the way, Keon Johnson got the start. Bailey came off the bench, and that provides some offense off the bench, no doubt, with Bailey and Jaden Springer, who came back after he suffered the ankle injury on Saturday against Alabama. And it was a game where it wasn't the prettiest by Tennessee, and the Vols still have some things to work out. Santiago Vescovi was 1 of 7 from the field, did hit some free throws that were clutch late. Keon Johnson hit 6 free throws late. That was big for him, for Tennessee, to be able to hold on and get the win. And that's why afterward, despite Tennessee not playing its best basketball and still showing a number of things that the Vols need to work on, Rick Barnes on the Vol Network postgame show talking to Bob Kessling seemed pleased with the way that Tennessee was able to close out the game and get the win.
Really am pleased, Bob. And it's a hard-fought game. And, you know, Arkansas, you look at them, they've had a great year. And Eric Musselman does a terrific job. And we knew that it was going to be hard. They're a very difficult team to defend. And, you know, I think there's doubt when you play as poorly as we did Saturday in here and you come back out, then you start the game by missing layups and dunks. I think that weight gets a little bit heavier. And I give a lot of credit to Josiah James because he's the one guy that was into it from start to finish, talking to get these guys, encourage them. And John Fulkerson stepped up big in the second half. And at halftime, the message was clear. He had not touched the ball enough, even though he missed a couple shots. And his shots aren't as easy as some of those dunks. But the first one he had, he should have made. But I said, we're going to play inside out. The ball better get in his hands, and he'll make the right read. He had a couple great kickouts. You know, V.J. Betty knocked down some threes. But you go back to that first half, when you miss, give away 8-10 shots, and we turned them over 20 times, but didn't have a lot to show for it. And, again, it was just a great win because it was especially how disappointed we all were Saturday with the effort we put into it. And then we came out. I don't think there's any question our guys were ready. But, again, when you miss easy shots to start with, it just weights you down. And that's what I felt like for a while. But we, you know, we fought back. And when we had to close things out, we did.
Tennessee did fight back, and in the second half, I think, was clearly the better team. As I mentioned, the Vols had a big advantage in the second half, and Rick Barnes talked about John Fulkerson, who did not have a good game against Alabama and sat for a while at the end of that game. And Tennessee, I'm sure, wanted to see him come out and play better, and he did in the second half. He had 16 points, 8 rebounds for Tennessee. He actually had a scary moment, you may have seen, where after the whistle, the play was over, he went up and tried to throw down a hammer dunk. He missed the dunk, which doesn't really matter because it wouldn't have counted, but then fell and he landed awkwardly and appeared to maybe twist his knee. He had to leave the game for a short stretch, but he was able to come back. But it looked really awkward and I think was scary for a lot of people, maybe John himself. So I'm glad that he was able to come back, of course, and that he was able to step up his game and play well. So 17 from Josiah Jordan-James, 17 points from Victor Bailey Jr., 16 from Fulkerson, 14 from Keon Johnson. I mentioned he hit those 6 free throws and they really mattered for Tennessee. And you're seeing, again, the different players who can step up. There are going to be games where Bailey, maybe Josiah, Fulkerson for sure, Pons at a time, Jaden Springer, all of these guys are capable of leading Tennessee in scoring. Vescovi struggled shooting the basketball on Wednesday night. He'll have a game or two probably where he leads the team in scoring. There are a bunch of guys that can do that. They need to be better at times on defense considering what their potential is. I'm sure in the first half the staff was not happy with giving up 40 points, But they also know, the players know, the coaches know, it's going to take some time. They're not going to play perfect every night, and they're still trying to get some things figured out. One guy who can really make a difference is Josiah Jordan-James. I said earlier, I'm really high on what he can do for obvious reasons. He was a five-star player coming in. I think last year, despite the injury he played with through the season, and he may have not had the freshman season he wanted, he showed what he's capable of late in the season, the Florida-Kentucky games. And he sure showed it on Wednesday night against Arkansas. We were talking about it on the Sleigh Ride on Tuesday on Sports 180. If you've missed that, you need to check it out. Every Tuesday we have Ron Sleigh on from 1 until 2 Eastern Time, and we always podcast it on the Sports Animal. But we were talking about guys that we really think can make a big difference. Who's the guy we're picking? And Ron asked me, and I said, I'm going to go with Josiah because of all the different things he can do. If he's going to score 17 points, hey, that's great. You're going to win a lot of games when he does that. But to me, it's his ability to play defense, his ability to handle the basketball, his ability to distribute and knock down shots and score. He can do a number of different things, but it's more than that. His maturity, he fits in. When we talk about culture with Tennessee basketball, Josiah Jordan-James is a very good example. And on the Vol Network postgame show, Rick Barnes talked about what Josiah has done, including Wednesday night, stepping up for Tennessee.
He did. But what he did more than anything was his leadership. He's quickly starting to become the voice of the team. He really is. And we've been talking about that. You know, he was the guy on the bench that was encouraging, talking to guys and just in his own confident way. And he's a guy that I tell him all the time, when you're open out there, he's got to shoot it. He's really worked extremely hard on his shot, and he can shoot the ball. But he also, again, I think he missed a layup, I think, earlier tonight. But the couple that he finished were terrific. And I want to see him go in there and dunk the ball, because we've challenged him in practice to do that. He's done that some, but we just got to get better. It's plain and simple. We just got to continue to get better.
And I think Tennessee will. Tennessee is now 8-1 on the season with the win against Arkansas. Tennessee is 2-1 in SEC play. Alabama looked impressive in its win against Tennessee and on Tuesday night in the win against Florida. So the Vols are actually looking up in the SEC standings right now. But as I mentioned earlier, Tennessee is a clear favorite to win the SEC, and that would still be my pick. Nothing changing there in terms of what Tennessee is, what Tennessee can be. But they are going to need the freshmen to be more consistent. The effort's there, to be clear. Rick Barnes did talk about that. The effort's not an issue. It's more of just an understanding of what they have to do on both ends of the floor and making smart decisions, which is not surprising when we're talking about freshmen and a team still coming together. And Tennessee will play next against Texas A&M. That's not a very good team in the SEC, but I do think Buzz Williams is a really good coach, and that won't be necessarily an easy game. Tennessee could go there and win comfortably. That would not surprise me at all. But Tennessee is still showing it has some things to work on, and work on them Tennessee will. Coming up next here on Locked On Vols, an update on one of Tennessee's signees in football who has been planning to enroll this month, this upcoming semester at Tennessee. An update on him and a look at what Tennessee is still trying to do to update its roster while the coaching staff is still trying to figure out what its future is. I'll get to that coming up next right here on Locked On Vols, today presented by RockAuto.com, a very cool site. If you are looking for a part, you need something for your vehicle, you need to check out RockAuto.com. It's a family business. They've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. And a real benefit with that is when you go to the website, they have different options for your vehicle. You can shop by the make, the model, the year, and they make it really convenient, and the catalog is unique. It's remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all the parts that are available for your vehicle, and then you choose the brand, specification, and price that you prefer. And that last part is key. They know that you're looking to save some money. They want to help you with that. If you go to a store and you just walk up to the counter and say, hey, I need a part for this, they bring out the part. You pay what it costs. On the website, rockauto.com, they want to help you save money. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Tennessee signee Trinity Bell is trying to figure out what he's going to do this upcoming semester. He's a 6'7", 260-pound signee. He could play tight end. I'm guessing there's a good chance that he's going to end up being a lineman at Tennessee, but he signed with Tennessee in December, and unfortunately, he suffered a torn ACL and is going to need surgery coming up next month. And right now it looks like he's trying to figure out exactly where he is academically to be able to come in and enroll in the spring semester at Tennessee. He obviously would not be able to go through spring practice because of the ACL injury, and I'm guessing it would affect his workouts, but he would be on campus, which I think would be good. And he told GoVols247.com that he's kind of leaning to being an early enrollee at Tennessee, but said that he's 50-50. So we don't know exactly what's going to happen with Trinity Bell. I would also guess that he's more of a developmental player. Don't expect him to be able to come in and play right away, considering he's having ACL surgery next week. This would be a guy to see, how does he develop? Is he going to be a lineman? He could play tight end, but at 260 pounds, if he continues to get bigger, I would think that he's on the line of scrimmage, maybe on offense, could be on the defensive side of the ball. But he did say that it would be good to have his rehabilitation started on campus at Tennessee under the watch of the Vols doctors and training staff, which I would agree. So that's something worth monitoring here over the next several days, next couple of weeks, to see if Trinity Bell is able to take care of everything academically to enroll early for the spring semester. And this is just one player to pay attention to see exactly what the status is with Tennessee's roster, as there will be players coming on campus this spring. Tennessee has a number of early enrollees in the class, and who knows exactly what the spring semester is going to look like from winter workouts to spring practice because of COVID-19 and just what the next few months will look like. Obviously, there's still a lot of unknown. But with the roster, I said earlier, I think Tennessee still wants to get another quarterback. I think it's pretty clear Tennessee needs another quarterback. Harrison Bailey is the favorite to be the starter, and Caden Salter is coming in. So there are two guys that you like. What exactly is Brian Maurer's status? Even if he's here in the spring, is he guaranteed to be here in the fall? No. And if he is, you're still only looking at three quarterbacks. That's not enough. So I think Tennessee needs to go find another quarterback, and the best way to do that would be to find a transfer who can come in. Jack Cohn is a player that I think Tennessee was interested in, but he's headed to Notre Dame. There are several other quarterbacks who are available out there. I don't know that there's going to be an obvious choice for somebody to come in and be able to compete for the starting position, or at least play at a high level if he ends up being the starter, but at least to provide depth. Tennessee needs help there. Tennessee needs more help on the defensive side. We're also waiting to see what a number of seniors will do on the defensive line. What exactly is the status of Matthew Butler, Aubrey Solomon? We need to hear something officially, I guess, from guys like Darrell Middleton, Latrell Bumpus. So that will affect what Tennessee wants to do in terms of trying to find help on defense. But with Kevon Bennett leaving, as they expected him to, and he was dismissed from the team, of course, and then DeAndre Johnson transferring, he could have come back to Tennessee for another year. Instead, he's going to Miami. While I think Tennessee likes its young defensive pass rushers, if you can find somebody out there that can come in and help, go get him. And then I think Tennessee needs another player in the secondary. So what Tennessee does with its roster, how Tennessee manages the numbers for the 2021 class, that's going to be something to pay attention to. That's something Tennessee staff is trying to figure out while it tries to figure out the status of the staff moving forward. As I said in the first segment, everything that's going on is not helping Tennessee in the recruiting department. I'm sure that everybody is ready for a resolution, for something to be done, to know exactly what's going to happen. And for you, I'm sure it's every day now on the podcast, right, that I'm at least talking about the unknown of the program, because it's exactly that. We don't know. Chris Lowe's comments will add to the conversation about the possibility of Jeremy Pruitt being out. Until we know, until Tennessee makes a final decision whether Jeremy Pruitt's staying or whether he's going, this is the conversation we're going to have. The unknown and the cloud that is hanging over Tennessee football. I'm sure everybody, or at least close to everybody, I'm sure there are some people who don't like Tennessee that are enjoying watching what's going on, but that's another reason you'd probably like a resolution. If there is one today, I'll talk about it on tomorrow's show. I'll get you ready for Tennessee basketball this upcoming weekend on tomorrow's episode as well. It'll be a Friday edition of Locked On Vols, which is here 5 days a week, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for being here. Keep spreading the word to other Tennessee fans about Locked On Vols. Rating and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts is a big help too. Thank you for hanging out. I'll see you tomorrow right here on Locked On Vols.